Well, good evening. Well, we have reached the last evening of our time together, and I want you to know how much I have appreciated being here. The love that you've shown to me, your friendship, your support, your hospitality, it has meant a lot to me. It has encouraged me. I only hope that you have been as encouraged as I have been, and being able to be with you, and I'll be able to feed on that for a while. I'll have a place in my heart that's just a little bit more special for the folks in this area. And it is my prayer that each one of you finds the blessed favor of our Lord. If your cup is not all the way full, the good news that I bring to you tonight is that the Lord is in the filling business. And He's not skimpy with His rations, but the Lord wants to fill us up. The Lord wants to fill you up as individuals. Did you know that the Lord does not come to save congregations? He's not going to come back for groups of people or cities or nations. He's coming back for individuals that He has called by individual name, that He knows, that He's acquainted with, and who is willing to say, "Here am I, send me, I'll go." And I'm thankful tonight that because sin and death and the grave were defeated, I can have eternal life. And you can have eternal life tonight. And regardless of where you are spiritually, regardless of where you have been spiritually, regardless of what has been in your past, regardless of the circumstances of the future, we have a Lord who is looking for whosoever will answer His call. And He is calling. And I'm so thankful for that tonight. I'm thankful for the hope that we have within us. I'm thankful for the hope that is based on reality. This is a different kind of hope than a lot of people know about. Some people hope in things, but they're not sure if they'll come to pass. This is a hope that will come to pass if we'll keep our eyes focused on our Lord. And I'd like to start tonight by reminding us that none of this would be possible except that the Lord was willing to go a little farther. And it seemed like He had already gone so far already. When you think about our Lord coming down and being willing to, what does the scripture say? He came down in the form of a man, as a servant. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was willing to be subjected to misrepresentations. Our Lord was willing to be betrayed by those who loved Him. Our Lord was willing to stand alone. He was willing to suffer the agony of the whip that was in the hands of the Roman soldier. He was willing to bear it without saying anything in return. He was willing to go to Golgotha and have the nails pierce His hands and His feet. He was willing to die and be buried in a grave that was made by something that He had created Himself, a man, that then turned and buried Him in a grave. Why did He do this? What was His purpose? It was for you. That's why He did it. He did it because He loved you and because He wanted something for you. Oh, I want to serve Him. I'm glad that the story didn't end in the grave. Aren't you? And I'd like to pick up there. I don't want it to end in the grave. I'd like to read a passage out of the 20th chapter of John tonight. And we'll start in the 11th verse. This was after the Lord had been put in the grave and And 3 days had passed, and yes, we have the advantage of knowing the story. But the people that endured those 3 days and watched that happen, they didn't have the advantage that we have of being able to read and know the story that's about to unfold. So we can kind of sit down in our comfortable chair with the fireplace going and kind of with comfort read a story that we know is going to end beautiful. But the people that were involved with this at the time, they didn't have that luxury. They were taught by the Lord, but they still saw it, if you will, through a glass that was still a little bit dark. They didn't know it completely like we have the advantage today. So think about the state of mind that Mary was in. Our story starts in the 11th verse where it said, but Mary, and this is talking about Mary Magdalene, it says she stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him thence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Listen to this verse. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself, and she said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. He called her by her name. Oh, I wonder what she felt like. What a change from a few moments earlier. I mean, consider, these people, they had their hopes in a Lord that was going to deliver them. They believed that they had a God that was going to rise above the sin and the hardships that they were living under. And they had seen some miracles of the Lord. And Mary Magdalene herself had been delivered, I believe, from 7 devils, right? She had seen the Lord work, and then to watch it seemingly crumble around her. And it seemed like all of her hopes had been dashed. And it seemed like everything that she had hoped and dreamed in and looked forward to. And there her Lord died on a cross. And his body put in a grave just like any other man. And she was standing there at the sepulchre weeping over that. Have you ever felt at a complete loss? Have you ever felt wholly empty? Have you ever felt just kind of emotionally drained? Have you ever felt your world just seem to crumble about you? Have you been in the place where that you hoped in, that you had dreams and you had purposes and you had expectations and it seemed like the window of opportunity had come for this to take place, but then it just seemed like it just crumbled about you. And you were just left feeling dejected, feeling low. If you lived very long, you've been there. My dad used to tell us growing up, when you live long enough, you'll get hurt. You'll get really hurt. There'll be times where you feel real hurt and real pain. I think Mary felt that on this day. It said that she stood without the sepulchre weeping. You know, a lot of times sin is the cause of feeling dejected and empty. Many times sin is the cause that, folks, so many people hope that sin will turn out well. So many people look at it with such high hopes and expectation, and they are so disappointed to find out that they find themselves in a ruined condition. Families torn apart. Spouses that they thought were going to be their lifelong companion gone. Children without stable homes. Bodies wrecked because of addictions that you never thought were going to take place. People reduced to feeling empty, dejected, needy. Sometimes it's people trying to find their place in life. You ever been there? Lord, why am I here? What is my purpose? Lord, I don't feel like I'm doing anything really for any good. Maybe you've suffered a great loss. It's real. You've been there. It's real. And Mary was standing outside of something that was very real. To us, it's a story that is as real as it can be, but she watched it happen. And she was standing outside that sepulcher, weeping and wondering what happened. And she'd been there earlier in the day and had looked in there, and the tomb was empty. And she ran back and told the disciples that it was empty. And somewhere along the way, she came back, and here we find her standing there, and it seemed like she was without a defined direction of what lay ahead. All that she had hoped in was gone, it seemed like. Oh, but then things began to change. Did you know it seemed like there was some foreshadowing to this earlier in the story? When you read in the story in the book of Mark, and the Lord blessed me with this message one day, I'll just relate it to you. I was looking to the Lord for a message, and it seemed like I was empty, and Sunday was coming. You that have responsibilities on Sunday know that whether you feel like it or not, Sundays come around every 7 days. And there's an expectation that you're going to stand up here and have a message. And it was Friday on my way home from work, and I didn't have anything. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm willing. I'll preach a message, but I need something from you. And just as clear, he dropped a verse and a chapter in my mind, and I scrambled to find out what it was. And I opened up to the book of Mark, and the verse said that when they came to the stone, the sepulcher, that the stone was already rolled away. And they had been trying to figure out, they were going to do something good for the Lord. Mary and Mary, both Marys. And they had someone else with them. And they wanted to do something for the Lord, but on their way they thought, well, how are we gonna do this? How are we gonna move the stone? But when they got there, it was already moved. The Lord had already gone before them, had already moved that was bigger than they. And the Lord is in the stone rolling business today. I want you to be encouraged tonight. However big the obstacle may seem in your life, however empty you may feel, however dejected or down, or however big the circumstance looks, and you look at it and you think, there's no way. I would like to do good. I would like to be encouraged. I'd like to have the victory. I'd like to be able to pass along some courage. And I'd like to be able to go forward with the... But what about this stone? What about these walls? What about these giants? Listen, the Lord will go before you. And He'll move away those things that you can't move. It might not always be on your time frame. But there's a song that says something about He was 4 days late, but He was right on time. It looked like that the Lord had missed the opportunity to help Lazarus, did it not? And Mary and Martha were feeling down and dejected. And Lord, we had hopes in You, and we thought we knew You, and we thought we knew what You would do for those that loved You. And if only You were here. And we told you, and you still didn't come. And it said the Lord wept. Why did he weep? Did he weep because he thought, oh, I wish I would have been here to be able to help Lazarus? You know why he wept? Because his heart went out to the people who were feeling hurt. He had compassion on them. He wasn't late. He was right on time. I want you to be encouraged with that tonight. Take that thought away with you. God is in the stone rolling business. He will go ahead of you. He will take care of things. He's bigger than the situations are that are bigger than we are. And Mary, she was there and the stone was gone. But when she looked in, her Lord was gone. And it seemed like that not only did he die, but it seemed like he didn't even exist anymore. He wasn't even there. Oh, but things were changing. I don't know how many times she looked in the tomb. I don't know how many times she looked in the sepulcher. But I can, if you can get a mental picture of it, Mary weeping and dejected and down, and maybe she looked in there several different times in the morning, and it looked cold and dark and empty. And maybe she peered in there one more time. And when she looked in there that time, what does it say? She stooped down into the grave. She beheld the presence of angels, of comforters. Did you know that the Lord is so good to send comforters and angels our way? She looked in there and saw those angels and beheld them who inquired of her need. And they said, "Woman, why are you weeping? Why weepest thou?" She said, "Well, because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." Have you ever looked for the Lord and couldn't find him? Have you ever thought, "Lord, where are you? Lord, I've done all that I know to do to serve you. I've given my all the best that I know, and it looks like every time I turn around, I don't see you. And I don't feel your presence, and I don't understand it, and I'm confused. And Lord, I thought you stuck closer than a brother, and it doesn't feel like you're here right now." Have you ever felt that? Yes. Job did. Yes, he did. He looked forward, backward, side to side, and it didn't seem like the Lord was there. But saints, the Lord was there all the time. He hadn't gone anywhere, and he hasn't gone anywhere tonight. The Lord is still there, and he knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows where your children are. He knows where your loved ones are. He knows what your situation is. He knows the pain that you feel, that maybe you can't explain it to anybody else like you feel it. Maybe it's so sensitive that you can't just open up and tell people, "I feel pain, and it's coming from this, and this is why I feel it." But the Lord knows about it. And he hasn't gone anywhere. He cares. He's there. Mary looked down there in the tomb, and the angels were there, and they said, "Why are you weeping?" And she says, "Well, they took my Lord away, and I don't know where he is." And well, they knew why she was weeping. They also knew why she didn't really need to be weeping. That's a challenge to me. Sometimes I think the Lord would like to just lift us up and say, "Now listen, Rod, would you just have faith in me? Enough of the crying. I would have cried too. And I have cried and I do cry, okay?" But sometimes I wonder if the Lord just wants to come along and say, "Rod, would you just have faith? Would you just believe in me? Would you just be willing to commit this into my hands? I know about it." So often we try to take it all in control, and when we lose control and all else fails, then we say, "Well, Lord, I hope you're out there somewhere." And the Lord's saying, "Listen, I was here before you tried to take it in control. And if you would have just kept your hands off, you might be in a better place now than you are." God has things in control tonight. He knows where you are. He knows what the situation is. And He knows why we weep. And He doesn't take us to task for that. He wept when He saw Mary and Martha weeping. He wept when he saw all the friends of Lazarus weeping. He was moved with compassion. And He's moved with compassion when He sees our needs tonight. Mary turned back around and she looked back into the tomb. I don't know how many times she looked in the tomb. And I don't know what all went through her mind, but she heard another voice. She heard another voice saying some of the same caring words that the angel said. "Woman, why are you weeping? What's wrong? What? Why are you feeling empty out here tonight, this morning? What is moving you so?" She thought it was the gardener. She said, "Well, listen, She said, if you know where they've borne him, tell me where he is, and I'll go take him away." And then came the voice of the Master. With a single word, powerful word that just changed her world, speaking volumes of hope, of security, familiarity, of life. Mary, what do you think she felt like when she heard her name called by the Master? Do you remember the two men on the road to Emmaus? Do you remember what it said they felt? A burning within them. The Lord opened up the words, and after He was gone, they were talking together. What did you feel did you feel the same thing I felt? Was it just me, or did you feel something? I didn't say anything about it, but because He was a stranger, I didn't know who He was, and I didn't understand it completely. But there was a burning going down in my heart. Did you feel? Yes, I felt that. I wonder what Mary felt when she was all dejected and down, and it seemed like, and then somebody just like flipped a switch and the floodlight came on. "Mary, Master, is that you? Lord?" And she spoke a word. Her reply seemed so fitting. What did she say? She had one word in response. It wasn't, could you say that again? Who are you, the guard? No, she knew exactly. The Lord got right down in the depths of her heart. And she spoke one word that just spoke volumes back. "Master, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the undefeated, the grave can't keep you in. You're still the Master. Nothing can overcome when you are in the presence. Master." What happened to her tears? Her tears of mourning, no doubt, turned to tears of joy. Yes. Her desperation was replaced with hope. Death had been brushed away with life. Yes. And He spoke her name in love and care. And I want to bring you some news tonight. The Lord is calling you by your name. Wherever you are, whatever your situation is, the Lord is looking to you and He's calling your name. He's saying, "Brother Purvis, Sister Purvis, I know you. I know who you are and I know where you are. And I love you. And I'm here. I'm here for you. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I never have. when we find ourselves at the bottom in our journey through life, and you will find yourself in those places, the Lord is calling your name, and He's there, and He wants to lift you up. And when it seems like that the circumstances around you seems like that seems so valuable is no longer valuable. And when it seems like that what you have isn't worth anything anymore. And when it seems like your life, you question the validity of your life and you question the purpose of it and you question what it looks like out ahead and your vision is blurred and there's confusion and there's hurt and there's pain. I want you to know tonight that the touch of the Master's hand, that the call of His voice is there to restore value. It's there to lift you up. It's there to restore hope. And it's available to every single person that's in here tonight. Be encouraged. Let it be real to you. If you'll let me, I want to read this poem that my grandpa used to read. "'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "'What am I bidding, good folks?' he cried. "'Who will start the bidding for me? $1, $1, then $2? "'Only two, $2, who will make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three. But no, from the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loose strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as caroling angels sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000? Who will make it two? $2,000? Who will make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not quite understand what changed its worth." Swift came the reply, "The touch of the Master's hand." And many a man with a life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin, a mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once and going twice. He's gone and he's going and he's almost gone. But the Master comes, and the foolish crowd can never quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the Master's hand. We serve a Master who wants to touch your life and make all the difference. He wants to change your life. He wants to restore hope. Do you value it tonight enough? We've had different messages in this meeting about being separate, about looking forward, about asking yourself, what doth hinder me from living for the Lord and giving my all? Are you willing to be touched by the Master? Or are you as the thoughtless crowd, the foolish and the thoughtless crowd, who never can quite understand the worth of being touched by our Lord? We serve a Lord that wants to touch our lives. And regardless of where you are tonight, if you haven't felt the touch of the Master's hand, He's calling your name. And He wants you to come. But we have a choice to make. You can choose what music is played in your life. You make a choice as to whether you want to go the way of the Lord, the way of life, the way of abundant life, or you can choose to go the way that is well traveled, who also, and which also has an expected end. That has an expected end too. We have a responsibility tonight. Our responsibility is to press to allow the Lord to make contact with us. The Lord is calling you by name. He's reaching out and He wants you. But we have to be as the woman who went pressed through the press, didn't it say? The woman with the issue of blood. It looked like that there was no way for her to get to Jesus, but it said that she pressed through. And she touched the Lord. And what a life-changing event that was. That's our responsibility tonight. Aren't you willing to do that? Will you let the Lord tune your life? Will you let the Lord tonight give you all that He has to offer us? Or do you want to go ahead and go down the road thinking, maybe when it's more convenient, I have a different way to go. It's the way of the simple. It's the way of those that are void of understanding. Don't go that way. Don't let that be the story of your life tonight. If we will push through the press, God will be faithful to us. One day, sooner or later, that great day is going to arrive when we stand before the Almighty Judge. And the books are going to be opened. And all about our life is going to come out. All how we have lived. All of the secret places. All of the doors that we would like to have kept locked. They're all going to come open. And everything that we have been and everything that we are is going to spill out. When that book has been opened and it's been read, and the book has been closed and put to the side, and I stand before the Almighty God, the Judge, I want Him to be able to look at me, and I want Him to be able to find the blood stains on my hand that have been passed while holding the Master's hand. Our life tonight can be worth more than a dollar or two or three that the world might offer us. The Lord has something so much better for us than that. It can be enriched. Our life can be tuned. It can be changed beyond your expectation. If we will only apply ourselves to understand the change that is wrought by the call of God and by the touch of the Master's hand. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.